The company, formerly known as Blackwater, has had a less than stellar record in places like Iraq and elsewhere, but the private security firm has tried to put on a new face in recent years. It has a new name, Z, spelled X-E, new management, and it's been put up for sale. But despite its controversial history, the Obama administration has awarded it over $200 million in government contracts. Joining us is Jeremy Scahill, a writer for The Nation, a fellow at The Nation Institute, also the author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Army. I'm very pleased it brings him back to our show today for this underreported segment. Hello.
Good to be with you, Leonard.
We're calling the company Blackwater. Should we be calling it Z?
I've never stopped calling them Blackwater. I mean, this is all sort of crude attempt at rebranding. And I think it's important when we're trying to hold corporations accountable that we make sure to keep their identity clear.
Is Z the only name they're using these days?
Well, I mean, first of all, before they even went through the rebranding that you so rightly mentioned, the company had about 20 different affiliates that would do various things. They had Greystone, which is an offshore sort of classic mercenary company that's registered in Barbados. They had Presidential Airways. Their two main divisions are Z Services, which you mentioned, and then the other one is called the United States Training Center. It almost sounds like an Olympic ice skating facility or something, but that's their training business.
Just this month, the company received a contract for $120 million from the State Department to guard facilities and $100 million from the CIA to defend bases. Where are most of these facilities located?
Well, you know, the State Department contract is pretty clear. This is to protect the new consulates that the United States is building in Herat and Mazar-e-Sharif inside of Afghanistan. And Blackwater is already doing that kind of work for the U.S. government. They guard Ambassador Carl Eikenberry, members of Congress, when they come over to Afghanistan. They also do police training and military training inside of Afghanistan. The CIA contract, however, is for Afghanistan, but also sites globally around the world. What we're seeing under the Obama administration is a sort of expansion of special forces direct action. 75 countries around the world currently have either CIA or U.S. special forces operating in some sort of a paramilitary capacity. So Blackwater is likely guarding very sensitive small-scale operations in perhaps in places like Yemen, Somalia, and elsewhere.
And how long are these contracts for?
Well, this is a one-year contract that then has three option years. So you could potentially have 4 years for these contracts. But Blackwater's been doing this since 2002 for the CIA.
Well, didn't Barack Obama, the candidate Obama, say that he wanted to cut back on this sort of thing?
He did. When he was a senator, and I have to give him credit for this, Barack Obama was one of the few people who actually understood this issue. And he was the leading author of the Democrats' legislation to regulate these companies. They didn't want to eliminate them. They wanted to regulate them. What I think is more telling is that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went on the campaign trail trying to be president. She actually endorsed legislation that would have banned them. And now she is in a position where she's actually their boss in the case of the State Department contracts.
And the argument for using this kind of company is that the military just can't do everything?
Well, that's part of the argument that you hear, but that's more an argument that people that don't actually study this very carefully would make. The real argument for it is that you have all of these guys that are in their 40s now, late 30s, early 40s, that are seasoned veterans of special forces, and it essentially gives them a whole second career, and it means that the U.S. government doesn't have to pay them benefits or pensions or retirement, anything like that. So you can hire this kind of capacity, and you don't need to add new jobs to do it. It's kind of anti-union, if you will.
But if you're in the military and you break some of the rules, you can be punished. Are these groups regulated?
Well, they are regulated on paper, but in reality, there's been very little action against them. And in fact, when the Justice Department has attempted to prosecute them, they haven't been very successful at all. Cases have been thrown out. The law is murky. I mean, it remains a sort of accountability-free zone.
CIA Director Leon Panetta told ABC's This Week that the company has shaped up its act. What evidence did he cite to back up that claim?
Right. I mean, well, you know, they've cleaned up their act about as much as BP has cleaned up the Gulf to date. Just in April, five of Blackwater's top officials, the five people under the owner, Eric Prince, were indicted on conspiracy, obstruction of justice, weapons charges. You have Blackwater operatives that are being prosecuted for murder now, stemming from a shooting in Afghanistan. Others are being pursued for manslaughter in Iraq. Just this past week, McClatchy News Service broke a very important story on how Blackwater allegedly violated the sanctions in Sudan and attempted to broker an agreement to provide security and training services for the Southern Christian Forces in Sudan, reportedly in return for half of that region's mineral wealth. So they remain under very intense investigation. I've talked to people at the agency who have no clue what Leon Panetta's talking about.
Federal investigators have said that the Sudan sales pitch from Blackwater violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So why is the government currently pursuing a fine on this and not criminal charges?
Right. Well, I mean, unfortunately, the corporate culture that we're living in this country right now is such that these companies are so deeply embedded in various U.S. government functions and operations around the world that it sends a message that if they were to criminally prosecute them, they potentially would lose Blackwater as a service provider. They're saying it's more important to keep them than it is to hold them accountable.
And they would get half of all the mineral wealth
right.
of the country?
Well,
did the deal go through?
Well, the McClatchy says that it didn't go through. However, I wrote about going back to 2008 how Blackwater had actually brokered agreements with the Southern Sudan forces and that they had begun doing some advising and training. So I'm not so sure that McClatchy had the entire story. I wouldn't be surprised if there were actual deals.
What kind of mineral wealth are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's remember that Sudan is tremendously flush with oil resources, and China controls about 40% of Sudan's oil resources. But there's also minerals similar to those that you find in Congo that could be used for iPhones or cell phones. This is a common practice that security companies use in Africa in particular, where they'll get paid in mineral or diamond wealth because it's easier to launder than money. And essentially you free up a liquid flow of cash.
Yeah, it's a barter system. It's a very old system.
Right. It also violates United States laws and trade regulations.
According to Liam Panetta, Blackwater underbid competitors for the contract by $26 million. Are there a lot of other companies out there even offering these kinds of services?
My understanding was that two other companies bid on this at least. One is Triple Canopy, which the Obama administration has given many of Blackwater's old contracts in Iraq. And the other is DynCorp, which is sort of the Walmart of the private security industry. It's a massive publicly traded firm with ties to General Barry McCaffrey and other powerful military figures. It is true that Blackwater at times has offered its services for cheaper. My theory on that, and I would say it's an informed theory, is that Blackwater believes in the ideological mission of what the CIA and the U.S. government are doing around the world, and I think they want to be in that game. It's not just about making money. There's an ideological component to it.
But if top officials are under indictment, doesn't that immediately mean that their bid isn't the most important factor?
Well, I mean, I've talked at length with Representative Jan Schakowsky, who perhaps is the leading opponent of these companies in the Congress. She's on the Intelligence Committee. She's called on the CIA to cancel all these contracts and said that she didn't attack Panetta directly, but she said there's no reason they need to take them. I don't care if their bid is $1 for these services. The calculus should be, what do they do to the reputation of the United States when they're on the payroll of this government around the world?
In a blog post at TheNation.com on Monday, you wrote that the Obama administration was Blackwater's new sugar daddy. That phrase seems to suggest that you feel there's more of a relationship there than just being the lowest bidder.
Oh, there's no doubt. In fact, when President Obama first went to Afghanistan, there were rumors in the mercenary community in their chat rooms that Obama had actually told Blackwater guys that he thought that they had gotten a bad rap. I think that part of what's happening here is that the Obama administration is radically expanding special operations around the world. And I think they realized very early on that Blackwater has the market cornered on a lot of unattributable forces, i.e. men who are highly trained, whose actions won't necessarily come back to haunt you, and can carry out actions that, quite frankly, many Americans might find distasteful.
And we have Leon Panetta saying that it all just has to do with bidding. Does every contract of this one have to be bid on?
Well, no, there are contracts that are given that are awarded on a non-competitive basis. In fact, Blackwater has received several of them over the years, both domestically and internationally. But the Obama administration has moved to try to make the process for bidding on these contracts more competitive. But the fact is that when you have commanders in the war zone or you have CIA station chiefs saying, we want this specific company because we can't lose these specific men, you really put the it's really a checkmate type move.
Well, where would we go if we didn't use Blackwater?
I mean, this is what I've been. You know, I could talk until I'm blue in the face about how bad Blackwater is. But if the Obama administration wants to pursue this policy, the likelihood is that at least for a period of 5 to 7 years, they're going to have to keep using these forces unless they want to spend the huge amounts of money it would require to beef up a U.S. government force. It's about the policy, Leonard, much more than it is about the particular companies.
My guest is Jeremy Scahill, who's talking to us about new Blackwater contracts on today's Underreported. Hasn't Eric Prince, the owner or whatever he is of Blackwater, made some controversial statements about the U.S. mission in the Middle East?
Yeah, well, I actually obtained a few months ago an audio recording of a speech that he gave to a business and military gathering in Michigan, and he described the people that are fighting the United States in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq as barbarians who crawled out of the sewer. And said that that he's not concerned about his forces violating the Geneva Convention because the people that we're fighting have never heard of Geneva, let alone know where it is. He's also recommended that the Obama administration send in teams of private contractors rather than the U.S. military into countries like Nigeria to protect corporate oil operations, as well as in Yemen and Somalia, saying that it would offer political expediency to a White House concerned with blowback from the public over the policies of expanding these wars.
Well, earlier this month, there were reports that the company was up for sale.
It is. I mean, but let's.
Is Eric Prince and Eric Prince was planning to move somewhere to the Middle East? Where
was he gonna go? I've heard, and in fact, since I first wrote a story about how Eric Prince was planning on moving to the United Arab Emirates, more people have crawled out of the woodwork from his inner circle to talk to me and have said that he and his family are relocating to the United Arab Emirates, either Dubai or Abu Dhabi. There's seven sort of mini states that make up the United Arab Emirates.
After he has badmouthed the countries of the Middle East, is this a good move for him?
You know, there's the Middle East, and then there's the corrupt monarchies of the Middle East, and the fact is that the United Arab Emirates has developed a reputation for being a tax-free haven for massive war corporations. Remember in 07 when Halliburton announced it was moving to the United Arab Emirates, so he could set up shop there without fear of any Islamic terrorists coming out to try to bump him off. He'd be protected by the royal families.
Would he try to take the company with him, or do you think he seriously wants to sell?
No, what I think is going to happen is that he is trying to sell, let's say, 75% of Blackwater. Everything that you and I discuss about Blackwater, they're going to put up for sale. The training, the security contracts. But he's going to retain his offshore mercenary company. And that's the company, really, that I think has been engaged in some of the most unsavory activities because it's registered not in the United States, but in Barbados. So my guess right now, from informed sources, is that he'll move there, lay low for a while, try to avoid being subpoenaed to any of these legal processes because United Arab Emirates doesn't have an extradition treaty. And then he'll start servicing countries in that area like Jordan, which he already has contracts with, the United Arab Emirates, the Saudis, Qatar, providing training services, and at times maybe even bodies for operations in those countries.
So he wouldn't have to worry about seeking business in the United States.
Well, in a way, it's kind of a very sophisticated money laundering operation because the United States gives a tremendous amount of military assistance to those countries that I'm talking about and others. So the United States gives, you know, $1 billion to country X, and they use some of that funding to hire Blackwater. There's no accountability for it. Congress doesn't dig into the books of Egypt where Blackwater operates, for instance.
And if he's registered in Barbados, does the U.S. have much reach there?
Well,
does the Justice Department can it just go into Barbados?
What's interesting is that technically all of the operations of Prince's companies and its affiliates should fall under the purview of the State Department's Department of Defense trade controls. I've tried to FOIA, though, the records, to file a Freedom of Information Act request for the records from the State Department division that monitors this, and they have refused to hand over any documents on Blackwater to me because my concern right now is that that company that's registered in Barbados is not being overseen despite the fact that it really is owned by a U.S. citizen as part of a U.S. corporation.
Many of our listeners will remember allegations about the company's involvement in civilian deaths in Iraq and the Nisour Square massacre. All the charges were dropped in that, weren't they?
They were. And I mean, without getting into all the complicated details, the short of it is that the Justice Department sought to prosecute five men who it believed were responsible for shooting the 14. There were 17 civilians killed. They're prosecuting them for 14. One guy pled guilty to killing an unarmed Iraqi and had cooperated with the investigation into his colleagues. And what happened was that they were the judge in that case, Ricardo Urbina, determined that the government had used tainted evidence to bring their indictment, to get to win indictments from a grand jury, because they used statements, according to this judge, that had been given while the men were granted immunity by the State Department right after the shooting, which in and of itself was controversial. So the short of it is that they essentially got off the same way that Oliver North escaped criminal culpability for his role in Iran-Contra. They've just filed an appeal, and they're trying to get the indictments reinstated.
Are they at all culpable under Iraqi law?
That's actually a very interesting question. The Iraqis wanted to prosecute them, and I've heard from both Iraqi and U.S. government sources that what happened is that the U.S. government assured the Iraqis that the men would be prosecuted. And when these cases were thrown out, there was utter mayhem in Iraq, even from some of the sort of pliant leaders that the United States has backed up.
Hey, could Mr. Prince just have too many secrets to tell? For example, hasn't he been named as an asset in the CIA's controversial assassinations program?
Well, and he himself engaged in something that's known as graymail. It's not quite blackmail, but it's called graymail, where he gave a wide-ranging interview to Vanity Fair to a former CIA lawyer. He wrote the article, Adam Sarolsky. And Eric Prince released details that a former senior CIA operative told me just yesterday were classified. And they think that he may have actually violated the law by revealing some of what he did. So what he did, Leonard, was to say, I was a part of this program. I trained these men that were part of these CIA hit squads at my personal residence in Virginia and then deployed them in countries around the world, including in Germany, to pursue a German citizen where they found him and fixed him. And then they didn't finish him, which would have been the third component. But yes, I mean, he was named in closed door meetings as part of it and then came out in the open and talked about some of that himself.
You would have thought that Leon Panetta would have been concerned about that if he's giving out classified information.
Well, you know, people could say that I'm conspiratorial, but this is what I actually believe. I think that when you have men or groups of men that have engaged in really unsavory activities on behalf of the United States government, they know where bodies are buried and they know who buried those bodies. Those aren't the guys you want to cut off the ranch. So I think in a way, Panetta is trying to keep these guys very close to the fold, because there are many people at Blackwater that would have quite a story to tell if someone tried to prosecute them.
You recently wrote on your blog, quote, maybe if some reporter catches Eric Prince and his cronies engaged in drunken, profanity-laced diatribes aimed at the White House and Commander-in-Chief, something would really change. I'm guessing that you're surprised that General McChrystal was fired, but that Blackwater has been still awarded new contracts.
I think that there were several things in General McChrystal's history that should have immediately disqualified him from being the commander of the Afghanistan war, namely the cover-up of the death of Pat Tillman, the U.S. Army Ranger NFL star who was killed by friendly fire, his role in the abuse of detainees at Camp Nama in Iraq, and the idea that he, though, was canned for he and his men making these kinds of comments to Rolling Stone. And then you have Blackwater, which has a substantial rap sheet and is under intense investigation. The idea that they continue on and General McChrystal is sipping Bud Light Lime watching Talladega Nights, to me is really a painful commentary on where things stand right now with U.S. policy.
Did General McChrystal have a working relationship with Blackwater?
He did when he was the commander of the Joint Special Operations Command, it's sort of the all-star team of the Special Forces. Many of the Blackwater men were former members of McChrystal's JSOC. Some of them were Army Rangers. Others were from the Navy SEAL DEVGRU, the elite Special Forces. And JSOC at times has used Blackwater in its parallel drone bombing campaign in Pakistan. The military has a drone bombing campaign that dare not be spoken of in the chambers of Congress, and Blackwater's worked on that.
So what's happening here? All of the things that the U.S. government doesn't really want to have a hand in can be handed off to a company like Blackwater. For example, has Blackwater been involved in interrogations?
Well, I don't want to put the carriage before the horse here, but let's just say that in the next month or so, there are going to be some stories coming out in very powerful media outlets about the role that Blackwater played in interrogations in Iraq that involves some almost straight out of Mission Impossible type technology. They've been involved at every level of U.S. counterterrorism policy.
Does the company lobby members of Congress?
The company has hired Stuart Eisenstadt recently, who has served in both the Clinton and the Obama and the Carter administrations. They've paid him just the first quarter of this year $500,000, which is a lot of money to spend on lobbying for a company like Blackwater in just one quarter of the year. And I think that has a lot to do with the perception that their image has been cleaned up. They've hired lobbyists from the beginning, and then there's a mercenary trade association that also does a lot of lobbying on these issues.
So because Stuart Eisenstadt is involved, we're assuming that they're lobbying Democrats.
Well, let's remember, Democrats control the government right now, the White House, the Senate, the House.
You'd never know it from reading the newspaper.
That's a very good point. But I do think that in that sort of crude world of partisan politics, that's how these players think. I mean, just look at the campaign finance situation in the last election. Hillary Clinton was the number one recipient of defense industry dollars early on when people thought that she was the dark horse to win. That's how it works in this country. And that's why, I mean, the idea that corporations are people now and have free speech very much is a part of this story.
Has anyone estimated how much money Blackwater has collected from the U.S. government over the past decade or so?
It would be impossible to calculate because many of Blackwater's contracts were classified and were paid for through supplemental funds that were provided by the Congress. And those funds are essentially just slush funds. So, I mean, it's in the realm of several billion dollars, but we don't know the exact number.
So if Blackwater is sold, or 75% of it is sold, it'll still be business as usual, just with different people at the top.
You know, I've thought about this a lot. I think that there are very few places in the world, companies in the world, that could buy this company without being just destroyed. I predict that they'll be bought by one of their big competitors.
Jeremy Scahill's book, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, is now available in a revised and updated edition from Nation Books. And I want to thank you so much for talking with us about Blackwater on today's Underreported segment. It's always a pleasure to see you, Jeremy.
My pleasure.